I'm trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit today because we're actually talking about the Holy Spirit today. And I'm just feeling a new release and a new power in Him. And I just want to be sensitive to that because I know God's faithful because all week God has just been stirring inside of me. I have not abandoned you. I have not left you. I've been getting you ready for this time. And through all your wanderings and through all the toil and the things that you've been through, God said, I've been faithful to you. And so it's that faithfulness that causes us to put our trust in Him. You know, there are people who are broken in here. There are people that are being broken in here. But God said, I'm faithful. And if you can withstand that process, God will give you a power and an anointing to walk in on the other side of it. But you got to stand in it. The time for half measures are over. The time for half commitments are over. You got to be willing to go the distance and go all in with God. For the simple fact that we just got done talking about how He went all in for us. And anything less is short of what His desire is for you. If you've ever tried to do something half-hearted, you know the results of doing something half-hearted. The results are not what you really want them to be because you know you didn't put the effort that you needed to put in order to get the results. You also know the joy of actually putting forth an effort and seeing the results from that effort. Win, lose, or draw, you know you gave it your best. Correct? Correct. So you know when you're leaning in and when you're giving God your all and when you're not. Correct? Let's just be honest in here. You know when you're in and you know when you're out. And I understand nobody's making light of the fact that people are going through. Everyone's going through stuff. Everyone is. But you got to keep pushing forward. Sharon did a great job this morning talking about no matter what's been happening or going on in our life, you got to make up in your mind, I'm going to commit. I'm going to commit to go this thing. And so as you make up your mind, keep this in mind. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Why do you think you've made it this far? There are things that are going inside your life that you can't comprehend and you can't explain. The only thing that you can do is trust God and believe that He's working it out. And so if you can trust God and believe that He's working it out, you can take the necessary steps to continue to move forward. And know that He's not left you orphans. He's not abandoned you. He's actually sent someone to live inside of you. So as we look at the book of John, Maria, go ahead and put that up for me under the sermon. In chapter 14, it says, if you love me, keep my commands, first off, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you, how long? Forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Up to this point, the Holy Spirit was not in them, He was with them. It wasn't until the day of Pentecost when that barrier got broken down and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit indwelt the believer. And now the believer today, if you're a believer in Him, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you can walk in that power, love, and self-discipline. He's not just with you, He is in you. He's in you. So He's the Spirit of truth. The world does not know Him, obviously. Obviously. So you are not living life apart from the one who already knows you. He understands you and He sees you. And the Bible says that He's the Spirit of truth. Truth. So that means that even though you walk through times of confusion, at times we do, you can have an understanding that the Spirit of truth is inside of me. It's one of the reasons why the Bible talks about if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. But when you ask, don't doubt. Because wisdom will be given to you. Why? Because the Spirit of wisdom lives inside of you. So you don't have to feel like you're abandoned or doing life yourself because you have someone doing it with you. Now, it's a matter of whether or not you like the person you're doing life with. I understand that you have a partner that you may not have to do life with, or you don't like doing life with them all the time, but there is a partner who loves doing life with you. Spirit of truth. And so when you're looking for answers and you're trying to see where do I go and what's happening, the simple question you have to ask yourself is, what is he saying to you? What is he saying? This is not a message on tongues today. This is a message on the person of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, who's called to do life beside you. That's what the Bible calls the advocate. The actual Greek word means one called alongside, the parakletos. So you have someone called alongside of you, doing life with you, who's actually speaking truth inside of you so that he can help you understand, avoid that, engage that. Incorrect thinking hears truth. That's one of the reasons why you abide in Jesus, because if I don't abide in Jesus, number one, I can't bear fruit, because without him, I can do absolutely nothing. And the Holy Spirit is the one who produces the fruit in my life, because why? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who produces that fruit. And so we know that there are other kinds of fruit. We talk about hope. We talk about perseverance. But he produces that fruit in our life so that we can stand in the midst of the circumstances in our life and say that God is still good and that God can still accomplish his work even in the midst of confusion and dysfunction. He's still good. So in a world that has gone rogue, you can still have peace because the peace of God dwells inside of you by the Holy Spirit who now lives inside of you. He's the advocate. He's the one who says, that's enough. Change the behavior. He's the one who keeps the thoughts from killing you. You know the thoughts. He's the one, when things get erratic, that helps silence that anxiety and gives you the satiety that you need to have a level head. Because why? He's given you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So I have the ability to take a thought captive and arrest it according to the obedience of Christ and say, no, you won't have me. I got you. That's the difference between walking according to the world's way and walking according to God's way. When you walk according to the world's way, whatever feels right has you. But when you walk according to God's way, it's whatever is right has you. Whatever is right, not the way you feel, it's what is right. And so God said, if it's not the way you feel, it's okay, but is it right? That's why we have so much confusion when it comes to gender. Because I'm feeling my way into what I think is right. And I'm missing what is actually right and how God has created me. Your feelings have really nothing to do with how you feel about how God created you. I don't like the way God created me. Tough. He created you the way you are. Male and female.
Amen.
No matter how you try to dice it or slice it or try to undo it, it doesn't change it. And so you have to understand that your feelings, you can't feel your way through life. How do you make any progress by feeling your way through life? The only way I make progress in my life is being led by the Spirit of God, and that he gives me the understanding and the knowledge that I need to approach a situation, and he advances me once I'm obedient and walk in what he's asking me to do. The way I feel about it is irrelevant when it comes to the outcome, because I don't feel like doing certain things all the time. And guess what? When I do it by faith, the outcome changes. That's why I praise when I don't want to. Because when I praise when I don't want to, it tells my body, you're not in control. That there is a God who is greater than the way I feel. It tells my mind, my thoughts are not going to hold me captive today. There is a God who's worthy to be praised in spite of what's happening in my life. It tells my emotions, you will line up and do what God has called you to do and praise him and give him thanks for what he's done in your life, because that is the key to you stepping in victory. It does not matter whether or not you feel like doing it or not. I don't feel like doing or loving my wife all the time. But when I do it, guess what? I draw closer to God and I draw closer to her. If it was about feeling, I would have been gone about 10 to 15 years ago. But because God called me alongside of her and called us to do life together, no matter how I feel about it, I know that what God has joined together, let no man divide, including me, and do what God has called me to do, because in that there's blessing, no matter how I feel about it or not. My feelings will eventually correct and catch up. That's why salvation is not based upon how good you are. It's based upon the finished work of Christ. But progress is based upon faith also. Eventually, my feelings catch up and I see the right way. Oh, I see it now. I didn't see it that way, but oh, I see it now. That's why you can't wait. Well, once I feel better, I'll go. You're going to be waiting a long time. I'm going to step out, and all of a sudden, my emotions and the way I feel about it change. Ah, you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You are for me. You are not against me. All these things, all the promises that the Bible talks about are yes. They are yes. But to us, the Bible says in Corinthians that through us, that's where the amen comes. So I have to come into alignment with what God has already said and promised. That does not change. I have to change. That means that the gap between what God says and how I receive it has to change. And you know what bridges that gap? Submission. I submit to that. God is saying, listen, I'm waiting you to submit to what I already said is true. And once you do that, you'll change. You'll change. And when you resist the devil, he'll actually go, because you're submitted to the process. A lot of people try to submit, but they're so into their feelings and pleasure that the enemy says, give me a break. I know more of the word than you do. Why would the enemy leave someone who's already compromising? He's comfortable there. Because you're comfortable there, he's comfortable. But when you stand up and you actually begin to submit to truth, all of a sudden things begin to change. And he has to take notice, because you're actually walking. Okay, it's serious now. Well, take for example when Jesus was led into the wilderness. He was submitted to his Father's will. It was why he was able to resist the devil, and eventually he fled. Because he knew truth. Do you know truth? If you don't know it, it's hard to stand on it. And if you can't stand on it, what are you standing on when trouble comes into your life? You got to answer that for yourself. And I would say, and I would propose to you, that this last soul season, expose those areas. You know the soft ground that's around you? That's soft, that if you... You know what I'm talking about? If you ever had a sinkhole, or you've ever gone around your house or seen somebody else's house, you're like, man, you got real soft terra firma out here. Yeah, I know. There's some stuff going on under the ground, and we don't know. And it makes you nervous in case something actually happens. Where's the foundation going to go, and where are you going to go? That's why it talks about in the book of Matthew, building your house on shifting sand and the solid rock. When the rains come, the guy in the rock's like, what's up? The guy in the sand is flailing all the way around because his house is going, he's going, he's trying to fight for his life because he's building his house on stuff that is shifting. What are you building your house on that is shifting? What are you building your life on that is shifting? It's moving, and you're moving with it. Why? You're moving with something. Why are you moving there? I'm here. I'm the solid rock. If that goes, let it go. If they go, let it go. If the job changes, let it go. I'm the solid rock. That's what you stand on. All other ground is sinking sand. Don't even try to put your foot out there and try to see how the water is. Oh, maybe the sand isn't that slippery. It's slippery. Don't go there. Don't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. Because if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Yes, the master. Okay. Honey, this fruit looks good. Why don't you try some? Okay. That quick. That fast. They lost their position. Do you know how fast you can lose the progress you made? You know how fast the enemy can pounce on you if you're not ready? I'm telling you, just being reminded of that, you know how fast you can regress back? You know how fast that you can succumb to temptation if you're not right? I'm not saying perfect, but if you're not right, you know how fast you can, it can grab a hold of you? If you're not resisting right, that's why submission is so key. I don't feel like thinking right, Lord, but I am going to think right because I know that you said you've given me the mind of Christ. And that if you give me the mind of Christ, that I can resist that, take that thought captive, and I don't have to succumb to it. It doesn't mean it won't come in. But you have to be able to submit to the correct thought process if you're going to beat it. Giving into it, you don't win. You got to be able to beat it by submitting to it. And once you do, you'll beat it. And now, okay, I'm on a solid. That's how you build a foundation. I don't feel like doing it, but it's true. I don't feel like doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And all of a sudden, the foundation gets deeper. It gets real deep. Over the last couple of years, Christians have been popped out, uprooted. Foundation is not deep. COVID comes in, pandemic comes in. They're not standing on solid ground. All of a sudden, they're getting plucked out of their homes. They're getting plucked out of church community. They're getting plucked out of their relationship with God. Why? Because they weren't on the solid ground. The world shifted, and guess what? They did. Yeah. They went with it. And God said, where are you going? And when they went, God said, I still got something for you. But they weren't rooted and grounded. And people are divided on whether or not God is who he says he is over just the past couple. Do you realize what the past 2.5 years has been like? We don't know the gravity of it and how fierce the fight has been until you look back and the Lord gives you a little bit of a glimpse of what has taken place. There has never been something like this. Never. Because this didn't just trip up a nation. It tripped up the world. So much so that we still got people walking around. I got still people, I'm looking in my neighborhood, and they're walking out in their yards, full mask on, talking to people. It is 85 degrees outside, and we're having a conversation, and you're sweating. Can you breathe? What's happening? Take the mask off. We live in a state. There is no mask mandate here. Take it off, but you're still walking around. You can't tell me your quality of life is the way it should be. It's not. I'm breathing. I look great. What about you? Walking around, just, and I'm not talking about old, just older people, younger people walking around like, what's it? Ain't cool, bro. It ain't cool. You're not living. And you can't have a conversation. What? What'd you say? Can't you? Do you see me? Doesn't this look attractive? Now, don't answer that. Being free from that? But people are stuck because when it shifted, they never got back on solid ground. They're still going around with it. And what are you doing? And the enemy takes that and he runs with it. So now it's something that's embedded in them, and now it becomes something that's a stronghold that they hide behind and they can't get out of. And they're not living, they're dying, they're pretending. And you fall in love with your computer screen because people are working at home, and that's all it is. And you know, all it did for people who are already isolated or introverted was further push them into themselves, and that's a dangerous place to go. To the point where the enemy's hands are so in them that any sign of help or truth is foreign. It's foreign. What do you mean? Yeah. It's lifted now. You can go, oh, no, it's not. Because in their head, they're caught. And once you get tripped up and caught in your head, it's very difficult to get out of by yourself. Only the Lord can free you from that. Ask anybody in here who's been tripped up in their head. Because you got to be able to win the head game if you're going to win at life. And the only way you win at life is allow the Holy Spirit to help you continue to move forward, even in the midst of stuff that you don't feel like doing. Because when you don't feel like doing something, it opens the ground for compromise and issues. That quick, they lost their authority. That quick. If you don't think that you can be standing on a high place and the enemy throws something at you that looks good and you fall from that, we are missing the fact that the Bible talks about us walking around in sober judgment, because there is an enemy seeking someone to devour. Seeking. Not like who, no, he's seeking. He's walking up and down. Oh, I got her. I see it. She's still in that childhood. I'm going to get her. She's still in her childhood. She's still dealing with that emotion thing that happened. And I'm going to get her. I'm going to lay on that thing. I'm going to lay on it. And until you stand up and say, no, we're not going to do this anymore, you will continue to allow him access to your life. But you got to say no. Why? Because greater is he that is in you. Do you know who's inside of you? Do you know? Than he that's in the world. Okay, the next time it comes in, hey, listen, let's have a conversation. My God said, fill in the blank. But until you can stand up to it, it will always have you. Haven't you ever wondered in your life, if I could just whip it, if I could just whip it, man, if I could just beat it, where would I be? It's not magic. It's not hocus pocus. It's not some fairy dust that God just sprinkles on you and says, okay, now you clean. It is learning to understand the power that's inside of you, but actually walking it out. You develop the strength by walking it out. God does not take away the temptation of life. This is life. You still have to walk in it. What are you going to do with it? There are two options: shifting sand, solid ground. Choose. Choose it. I'd rather be where I am now than looking at the people who have gone off the deep end searching for answers that never satisfy. I'll take what I got over what they got. Why? Because, again, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Once we get that, nothing stops you. Nothing. Nothing can. Because you realize that you have the answer and you have the power. But when you allow that power to be forfeited by not walking in truth, then there are other issues that, if you don't think that the enemy is not going to come back around and stir up some stuff, you don't know him very well. And maybe the problem is that we put too little faith in ourselves. And so rather than believe God for what he says we can do or have, or believe God for who we really are, we just succumb to it because it's easier. And you know what I'm talking about. It's just easier sometimes just to succumb because it's not going to change. That thought process has to change. That if it doesn't change, you will get stuck in a perpetual cycle of winning and losing the rest of your life. No one, listen, no one wants to be in that cycle. I understand we're talking about our relationship with the Lord. I understand we have to talk about, well, we lose our life to gain it. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when God says, I'm going to take you from faith to faith and glory to glory. I want you to win. Win consistently. I'm not looking for you just to keep losing. Don't you get tired of just sucking? I don't like losing there. And God said, good. I want to put that taste in your mouth so you understand you're not meant to live that way. Let's live this way. Let's take back our marriages. Let's have a loving marriages. Let's have a fruitful life. Let's be in relationship with God, relationship with others. Let's walk over things, take things back. Let's lay hands on the sick, see them recover. Let's cast devils out. Let's do the things God has called us to do. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. My emotions can be right because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. My mind can be right because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. My life can be right because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. The cross was enough. I've been raised to life because of what Jesus did. Yeah. I don't have to have less than. It's more than. It doesn't matter how I feel about it, because if he began the good work in me, he's going to complete. Completed. Yesterday is dead. I can walk in confidence today and stand up to the giant and say, you will not defeat me because my God is greater than you. That's the type of God you serve. Not the other way around. You were meant to inflict change and inflict harm on the enemy. Not the other way. Swing back. We're talking about being in a fight here for your mind, your emotions, and truth. The world's losing. And guess who God's looking at to be the antidote? Little Judy in the corner. I just can't, Lord. No, Judy, you. I want you to change the world. I can't. I know you can't, but I can through you. I'll take you like you are. That's your story. I'll take you this. Come on. I'll take you like you are. Remember the woman at the well? She was crazy, but she changed the whole city upside down because Jesus took the time and said, you know what? If I touch this one, whole city's going to change. Whole city's going to change. If I take these disciples who are not trained and uneducated, and just 3 years with me, whole world is going to change. Whole world. So much so that they went joyfully unto their death. Paul even said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, I'm going. Lord, help us get to that point where we're so fearless in our faith that it doesn't matter what the outcome is, because we know who we are, we know where we're going, and it helps us take the limits off the way we can live our life because we're so fearful about losing it. You've already lost it if you became a Christian. It's not yours anymore. So if he decides to do something with it that you don't like, his choice. He already showed you the way. He's your source. That's it. Nobody else. No, none. None. He's your source. Not CNN. Not the Canton News Network. Not, I know y'all, some of you, oh, I love Fox. Not Fox. Not PBS. Not whatever show you find that's like, I hope, just trying to mainstream, but balance. No, they're not. The only no spin zone is him. I'm going to tell you like it is. And that's where you want to be if you're strong enough in yourself to be able to handle that truth. You want to be there. And so God is so faithful, he will help strip all that other stuff away from you so you get the real news. Here's the real news, Richie. I am seated above the earth. The real news is that everything happens when I say it's going to happen. And I'm ever living to make intercession. Do you know God's still working? right now? Well, he rested on the seventh day. No, he's working. Jesus said he ever lives to make intercession for you. And the Holy Spirit now, his job is to come alongside of you, the Spirit of truth, and help you do life. And so he's also calling into remembrance the things that Jesus told you about. Maria, come on. John 16. Come with me, girl. I have much to say. 16, girl. 16. The other one. Another screen. Yes, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He's the one. And there are other manuscripts to talk about. He's the one who's going to actually call forth those things that I've already told you about. You know what that means? That means that there are certain things that God has told you about a while ago. That guess what happens? Every once in a while, the Holy Spirit comes by and says, hey, just remember what he said. That's the type of friend you want when you forget. That's the type of friend you want when you're in the furnace. That's the type of friend you want when you're in the water. That's the guy that says, I got you. I got you. And remember, the Lord said he's coming to save you and that he has a promise for you. Remember, that's the guy you want. I don't want the guy who bails. I want the guy who remembers. No, I got you. That's what I want. That's why he's so good, even when you don't want to be with him. Because the great thing about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit is that he does nothing unless he hears it from the one above him. He has a source. And his source has a source. Jesus said, I'm going to do what my Father tells me to do. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's not going to do anything unless he hears it. So we have a communication thing going on right now. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit didn't argue with me. There are three people today. It's a Trinity. All of them act as one God. It's a mystery. We got a communication thing going on. You got communication from headquarters telling you what's up. Here's the deal. I'm moving you this way because I hear it from heaven. But if you're not heavenly minded, it's difficult to know where you feel like you need to go, because sometimes it doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, a lot of times, guess what? It's heaven. That's why, Sharon, trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path, is a promise. Don't lean on your own understanding, because you're not going to be able to understand it. God said, I want you to do this. It don't make sense. I know. Do it. Because it's about being heavenly minded. I'm not saying anything about being no earthly good, but let's not use that out of context. Okay. Well, I don't want to get so spiritual that I devoid myself of the conversation and communication to have with intellectuals here. Well, you're just as dumb as the woke people. You need to understand that you have someone who gives you wisdom and knowledge and revelation and truth. When everyone else is looking for it, guess what? You have it. That is a benefit of being in relationship with him. And we just got to take it. Thank you, Lord. That's why, here's the deal. Man, come on up here. That's why when you walk into situations and the Holy Spirit checks you on something, he's doing it for a reason, because he guides you in all truth. So that's the benefit of being in a relationship with someone who is all omniscient, omnipresent, all knowing, knows everything, all powerful. That's the benefit. That's why you get things that other people don't get. No, I got that, because that's discernment. That's why when you walk into a situation and God says, leave it, there's a reason you're leaving it. When you walk in and all of a sudden you can read a room, it's because the Holy Spirit has given you a word of knowledge or some discernment of what's happening in that room, and that you need to then again appropriate what you need to do next based upon what the Holy Spirit tells you. That's why when you walk in wisdom, you walk in knowledge. I got to get it. No, you walk in wisdom. You walk in knowledge. It's just sometimes you don't hear it, or you're trying to discern, is that him? But if you spend time with him, you begin to understand how he moves through you and how he speaks. And so when you walk in, all of a sudden you feel the unction. Now, this is what's going on right here, right now. So when I started seeing all this stuff going on with Disney, I knew immediately what was happening. Immediately. Lord, just, we're pulling that out too. Everyone's idols? That's coming down too. It's a small world after all? No, it's my world. I'm tearing down stuff. Everything that people hold up as idols, Disney's coming down to. And the enemy is doing all this stuff to stir it up. And this is the time for God's people to stand up and say, no, we're also going to make some noise. Here's the noise. I'm not going. Honestly, we're not going to Disney no more. Universal's getting my money. I like it better. At times. And that's all. It's all conviction. But for me, they're done. Because you have now raised up a standard that is now opposed to what I believe. And no matter how much fun I think I'm going to lose, there's other places I can go for a lot cheaper. Come on now. Come on. And there's not a lot of amens because somebody's like, well, next week I'm going. I'm going to Disney next week. You don't got to hide it. Go. But for us, we're not doing it. Because what you stand for, I have a problem with now. And so now here's my noise. You don't get any investment from me anymore. Disney Plus, maybe. My kids like it, but we'll see what happens even with that. We don't know. But he said, I'm going to raise up a standard of righteousness. That's what God said. Right? Who's the standard? He is, but who's he use? Malia, James, Gerald. You all the standard now. So the standard says, that's not my standard. This is my standard. So now you violated my standard. I got to cut you out. You're shifting sand. And it shows you where your foundation is, because sometimes it rocks people. What am I going to do now? What? What are you standing on? And as you see more and more of that coming, it's going to be a test of your resolve and who you believe in. Because this is the church's time to make some noise. Yeah. The church's time. I'm not talking about the New Testament church 2,000 years ago who were making noise, but now the church is kind of like, God's getting ready to make some noise. And the way that he makes some noise is that he showed you stuff that is not right, and that something should be stirring inside of you and says, we're going to do some things about it. We're going to make a change about it. Little by little, we're going to make a stance. You're going to shout, I'm going to shout louder. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. If they don't like me, so what? Come on, man. Who do you serve? Let's all stand and work for you. God will give you discernment about the people you hang with and the people that you confront daily. And you'll begin to see things about that person or their life situation just because of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. It's not about the Sunday attendance. It's not about the Wednesday Bible study. It's about the life that I have with Jesus every day. Every day, wherever I go, every day, so that I'm the church wherever I go, and the Holy Spirit goes with me, and he doesn't just speak to me on Sundays. Thank God, most of the time I get my stuff during the week. I come in, I'm like, yo, this is a cherry, what's up? And I just tell you, hey, this is what God's been stirring in me. But we're living life on the outside. Holy Spirit's working and doing stuff, and it's not about this building. It's about what you do when you get out there. Get out there. Get out. Holy Spirit is with you. You got people who God sent it in your life, and the Holy Spirit wants to shed some light on their situation and speak to it. How'd you know that? I got someone inside of me. It's weird. I know. You're like, you got someone inside of you. But fear will take you out of that lane. You're supposed to be out changing the world, and we're so concerned about being fearful. We had a garage sale at my house on Saturday, just getting rid of some stuff. I had a chance to meet my next door neighbor. Cool guy. Got a conversation. But just being able to see out and about, people were just, man, garage sale hungry, man. 8 o'clock, cars pulling in. Going from house to house. I mean, like literally, how you doing? You got a bag? Doing something. On to the next one. I mean, just like, I got a garage sale today. I mean, people frantic about a garage sale because they got to find the feather that goes in the hat that's on the mantle that grandma gave them. That's all they're doing all day. And just sweating. Sometimes coming around twice. Saying, have anything else? No, what I had was what I had. And coming around, just doing stuff. But that's the world's way. The world's way. People are out about their business. And God said, I'm calling you into their business. Because you're the light. You're the light. And you have a chance to talk to people, see where they're at. It was a breath of fresh air just to see people out. Most of them, no mask, just talking. How you doing? Actually, pretty pleasant. Feeling good about life. How you doing? Even though there were tunnel vision, but they were just out laughing. I'm like, oh my God, life. There you are. My heart longs for thee. Because that's what God has called us to. And you're looking for, oh, there's life. Lord, don't let us lose it. Lord, keep people on that path. Lord, keep people out of themselves. Give them a spirit of adventure again. Help them to start thinking and dreaming again. Help them to think outside the box. Come, even though they're not a Christian. Lord, help them break down strongholds in their own mind. Lord, help them to get out of themselves. Lord, even some of the best people, I'm going to say it. Some of the best people I even know aren't Christians. Just the way they live their life. I'm like, you'd be a great Christian. Why aren't you a Christian? You're trying to understand, Lord, give me the sermon on that. Then you have Christians, you're like, man, why are you a Christian? I look at them and I look at you, I'm like, I want to hang with you. You understand what I'm saying? Holy Spirit is the one who draws. He's drawing stuff out of you right now so that you can live again. You can speak. And most of y'all in here, like y'all have passed what's happened the last couple years. Praise God. You know people who are not. They are not. Guess who's the solution? You. There are people wondering who they, I'm real close. You got to pray. I'm real close to having open conversations with people in mass. Pray for me. Pray for me right now. I'm close. Because it's not living. And God said, I called you to live. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he's going to quicken your body. There's no deadness in God. No deadness. There's life in him. There's life surging through him. And so there should be life surging through you. You. No one's talking about, I'm weary from trials. No one's talking about that. But there's still life surging through you. It's still the thing that helps get you out of bed in the morning. The Spirit of God, it's time to get up. It's the Spirit of God, get you up. Time to go. There should be that effervescence. There should be that excitement about getting about life. I'm not here to argue whether or not you recharge. I'm an introvert. I'm an extrovert. Guys, are you his kid? Let's get after it and be about God's business. He'll give you times on the beach for a few hours to rejuvenate, do your thing, reconnect to who you are. But guess what? Not so you can go back in yourself, but to get out of yourself and say, all right, what do we got next? Why? Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Why? Why? Because you have a hope and the strength is not in you. It's in Jesus. And God begins to say, hey, listen, let's do this thing. That past is over. Let's start running. God, you want to run? Come on, run. And the Holy Spirit's running. We're like, okay, hold on. Hold on. Come on, let's fix that. I'm going to fix those areas so you start running again. I'm so far past you. I want you to run with me. That's why he's fixing stuff, shifting stuff around, saying, get on the rock. We got to fly. Let's fly. But I need you healed. I need you whole. I need you living life again. Oh, come on, Lord. Lord God, every person in this place. Everyone who's bending but is now broken, thank you, God, for the strength to keep moving. Thank you for that strength. Keep saying yes to you. Thank you for the solid rock that we stand on, Jesus Christ. We know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing changes him. I thank you, Lord, that even when the world shifts, we don't have to, because your spirit lives inside of us. God, help us to catch what you're doing in our life, what you've called us to do in this season. I thank you, God, even as I see you getting people ready just to mount up. They're mounting up and they're getting ready to fly. I thank you, God, for rebuilding stuff for them. Thank you, God, for the trial. Lord, even now, thank you for the trials. Thank you for the difficulties. Thank you for all that stuff. God, to help you get people ready for what you're doing now. Thank you, God, for re-energizing them. Getting them ready to go. And as they let things go that are not of you, thank you, God, that you're going to replace it with you. Thank you, God, for the strength we have in you. When we don't feel like doing it, we can do it anyway by faith. And you come through. Let me ask you in here. How many of you know in here that God's brought you from a place over the last several years? You're in a different place right now, and you feel like God's getting ready to do something in your life that's bigger than you? And you want God to give you the boldness to continue to say yes, no matter what's going to happen. Let me see your hands up in here. Every person in this room, God, every hand that's up, every hand that's not up, every hand is up. Thank you for every hand in this room. Thank you, God, for the Build Back Better plan that you've done. Everyone. They're better than they were. They're better. They've been raised back to life. Thank you, God, for continuing to raise them, even areas that they never thought they would see life. It's coming there too. Thank you, God, for those areas, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and financially, blessing in every area of their life as you continue to resuscitate them and fill them up with your spirit, because we know that you're sending us out into a lost and dying world, because we know that you're getting ready to pour out your spirit on this place. And we pray that you would continue to help us, God, be the conduits and be the blessing that you've called the church to be in these days. Raise up your church in the last days, that your church will do greater things than you did, because you said the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen and amen.